On Thursday, we started a discussion about Heksher Kelim in general and specifically for Pesach. So what I'm hoping that you have in front of you, so we don't have to go through the hassle of photocopying it again, are the pages that begin in the Rav's Shiurim on page Reish Chaf Gimel. Were you around, Yosef, when we gave those pages out? If not, I may have them here in the... Reish Chaf Gimel, Reish Chaf Dalet, Reish Chaf Hei, Reish Chaf Ho.
Yeah, all the way up to Reish Chaf
Hei. Excellent. So we're ready to go, as they say. Good to go. Now, what we established is that the Rambam Shita is called Hetera Bola, which means that the Rambam actually recognizes the efficacy of what's called Marika Ushtifa in the case of a kli that was used for kachin. Let's talk. I use shlamim as the paradigm of other karbanos other than chatas. Chatas has its own set of rules and regulations. So you have now a kli cheres, and you cooked shlamim in the kli cheres, and within a certain time allotment, the Rambam allows you, because of the principle called hetera bola, to take the kli cheres, subject it to Marika Ushtifa, and then you're fine. You can use the Kli Cheres, and you don't have to have any reservations about that. And if you ask the question, well, what about the Gemara that establishes that Kli Cheres is different than any other Kli, whether it's a Kli Mateches, a Kli Eitz, etc., and in the case of a Kli Cheres, we have to destroy the Kli Cheres. So the Rambam would hold that's only a case of Isura Bola, which means that if the Kli Cheres has a Bli of Isur in it, then you'll never be able to get rid of that Bli of Isur. But if the Bli inside the Kli Cheres is that of Heter, for example, Karban Shlomim within the time allotment, and that's called Heter Bola, then Enochinami, the Kli Cheres, is subject, it lends itself to Marika Ushtifa. When, under what circumstances does the Torah tell you have to destroy the Kli Cheres? So it fits into the following categories. Number one, if the Bliya is already a Bliyas Isur, for example, the time allotment for the Shlomim is already passed. B, if the Bliya was a Bliyas Chatos, because in the case of a Chatos, the Torah commands us in Shvira, that's a special mitzvah that has to take place in Kodesh, in the Azara. And as far as other Isurim are concerned, leaving out the realm of Kachim, let's take the Vela, etc., etc., then if the Kli Cheres was used for Isur, and Isur was cooked in the Kli Cheres, then Eidel Yotzim Yidei Daf Yoliol, because that's called Isura Bola, as opposed to Hetera Bola. But what we found last week when we studied the Rambam in Perek Hei Milchas Chametz U'Matzah, that the whole system that we've created, this whole structure, doesn't seem to work in the Rambam in Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah. Because the Rambam, as the Magen Mishnah points out, is committed to the position of Hetera Bola. So the Chametz that's Nivla in the Kli, the whole year round, is called Hetera. And therefore, at this particular moment, you would assume that according to the Rambam Shita, as we saw it in Shlomim, that because it's a Tera Bola, Ekev Achila, therefore you can subject a Kli Cheres to Mariko Shtifa, and you can be mocked in the Kli by getting rid of its Blia, or as we said, to reduce its Blia from a Tam Gomor to the level of a Tam Kolush. And once the Tam Kolush, and it's still heter, it cannot generate Isur. If we apply that to Chametz, then in the case of Kli Cheres, we would anticipate that the Rambam would allow you to take a Kli Cheres that was used the whole year round for Chametz and subject it to Mariko Shtifa, because the Rambam's opinion is Chametz equals Hetera Bola. How does the Magen Mishnah know that the Rambam's opinion is that Chametz is Hetera Bola? That's the famous Rambam about Sakinim. The Rambam says that you have a knife that was used for chametz the whole year round, all you have to do is haga'olah for Pesach, even though it was tashmisho al yidei ha'esh, which means it was not a knife like you and I think of a knife on the table, but rather it was a knife like a spit, a shipud, that was used to penetrate into the meat as the meat was going in a rotisserie around the fire. And the Rambam says you can take that spit, right, that shipud, and you could prepare it for Pesach. How do you prepare it for Pesach? You and I would think it needs libun, but the Rambam says, nein, it's enough that you do Hagolah. Sakine de Pischa, says the Rambam, Sagi Luba Hagolah. Says the Magid Mishnah, the reason for that is because of Hetera Bola. And Hetera Bola allows you to utilize Hagolah to be Machsha the Kli. Now we're stuck with the sugya called Kederos Pesach Yishavru, which means the following: that if you have a kli cheres that was used for Pesach, for chametz the whole year round, and you might think, well, you know what, chametz is heter bala. All I need to do with this kli cheres is subject it to hagola. I therefore reduce the time of chametz to a time kolush, and since I apply the principle of heter bala, a tam kolush does not engender any isurin. And yet, the Gemara says, and you'll see this on the page, on the top of page Reish Chavav, Kederos bePesach Yishavru, that when you have a kli cheres that was used the whole year round for chametz, there's nothing you can do to be machshir. What happened to the Rambam of Shlomim that we saw? The Rambam in Hilchas Maisach or Bonos that was interpreted to mean that if you have a Terah Bola, again within that time limitation, then even though it's a Kli Cheres, all you need is to subject the Kli to Mariko Shtifa and reduce the time into a Tam Kolosh. And once it's a Tam Kolosh, you cannot generate Isurim. Why not apply the same identical principle to Kederos B'Pesach, meaning to a Kli Cheres that was used the whole year round for what? For Chametz. Mm-hmm. And now he wants to be Masha the Kli Cheres. So what are you going to tell me? Is any Yotzimi de Dofi Liolam? That's not true in the case of Etera Bola. In the case of Etera Bola, the Hechsher of Marika achieves the goal of diminishing or lowering the status of the Tam from a Tam Gomur to a Tam Kolush. And once it's a Tam Kolush, then it doesn't generate any Isurim. Even though it's a Kli Cheres. And again, the precedent for this was the case of Shlomim. So this is what we discussed last week, that if you have a Kli Cheres that was used to cook Shlomim, and you're within that time limitations while you're still allowed to eat the Shlomim, it's a terabola, and you can take that Kli Cheres, you can be machshir with Mariko Shtifa, and go on in life. You can be mad to the Kli, even though it's a Kli Cheres. What do you say, Lenny? And that seems to contradict the halacha of Kederos B'Pesach Yishavru, which is a reference to a Kli Cheres that was used for chametz all year round, and just bust it, break it. There's nothing you can do to salvage the Kli. Why not? The Rambam sheet, as we saw, is Hetera Bola, meaning that the chametz the whole year round is called Hetera. And with regard to Hetera, if you can reduce the time of chametz, in this case the time of the Hetera Bola, to the lower level of what? Of a Tam Kolush, then it doesn't generate any Yisur Chavetz. And the Rambam Shita is that if you have a Kli Cheres, you can reduce the Tam Bolua in the Kli Cheres to a Tam Kolush by simply subjecting the Kli to Hagola, which is called Marika, even though it's a Kli Cheres, because of a Terabola. And the Rambam holds that Chavetz is a Terabola. Yosef, are you with me at all? It's a string of premises here, but when you mix it all together, you're really in deep trouble.
What is the issue with the Shlomim? Why are we trying to be Masha the Kli?
He wants to use the kli, doesn't want to throw it out.
And because it was used for kochim.
Correct. And then the kochim becomes what's called nosar, with the passing of time. How could he use this kli? There's an isur kares of nosar that's now bolur. Bolu in the kli, and Atorah Heid al kli cheres and yotzim deydaf yiliyolim. Had he put a chatos into that same kli cheres, he would have to destroy the chatos, the kli. He could never use the kli. So what happens with a carbon shlamim?
So we're saying that the nosar and the chametz are parallel, just like the chametz.
Nosar would be parallel to chametz after chametz
becomes usher.
Right,
exactly.
On Pesach.
Right.
But the whole year round, when he has his kli cheres and he wants to be machshir, that's like the shlomim before it became nosar, which is called ekev achila in the language of the Rambam.
Right,
and the Rambam holds it's ekev lachil. In Chatos, the Rambam admits that there's exeris hakosu, that the Torah requires you to take the kli cheres and do what with it?
Destroy it.
You have to destroy it. But that's the mitzvah of chatos. For example, let's say a chatos can be eaten for one day. If he would take the kli chatos, this kli cheres and bishul b'chatos, and within that day he would be machshir it by putting it through marika, then if not for the gzeres hakos, and the Torah says to break it, you would be machshir the kli. Why? Because it's heter bola. Because what's the status of chatos before the day ends? You know, before sunset, it's heter gomur. And heter, when you subject the kli cheres to hagola, to marika, that marika, even in the case of kli cheres, has the power to diminish the tam from a tam gomur to a tam kolush. Okay, now you have a tam kolush of heter. And the rule is that a tam kolish of hetek could never generate isur. That's called a terubola. The Torah, in the case of chatos, was mechadish nein. You have to destroy the kli cheres. But in the case of shlomim, the Torah says you can be machshir the kli cheres. So we ask the question: what do you mean be machshir kli cheres? HaTorah he'id al kli cheres and yotzu deydofa. The answer is you're right. You'll never be able to get rid of the blia that's inside the pores of this piece of pottery. You know, you never get free of it completely. But what you'll be able to accomplish through marika is to reduce that tam into what? Into a tam kolush. And if it's hetera, because we're still within the time limit, it hasn't become nosar yet, then hetera bala means that a tam kolush could never generate an isur. Now, if we apply that same set of rules and regulations to chametz, then the whole year round, if I have a chametz dika kli cheres, I should be able to subject it to marika, and that will reduce the tam bolua in the kli cheres from a tam gomer to a tam kolush. And since it's hetera, because the Rambam shitin sakinim, as we saw before, is that chametz the whole year round is hetera bola, is therefore a hetera bola in the case of a tam kolush after I took the kli and I put it into boiling hot water through marika, could never generate an isur. So why does the Gemara say Psachim Kinderos but Pesach Yishovru? That's where the Rav makes his absolute revolution of sorts, and he says the following: that there's a special din with regard to clay chametz. Clay chametz is an entity which works with its own rules and regulations. Now, keep in mind, on the side, I mean, this is a very important footnote, that this is, well, everything that we're discussing now is Durabbanan. This is not Doraisa. But Durabbanan wanted you to experience Pesach in a very special way. I mean, it's Erev Chanukah, so we're talking about Pesach here, but they wanted you to stay away from chametzdika, kalim, and so forth and so on with regard to Pesach. So what they did was, they instituted a sort of an upgrade, a more strict requirement and standard with regard to clay chametz. And they said the following, that clay chametz are like the case of chatos. We said with regard to chatos, again, that's on a deraisa level, the Torah says about kli cheres that once you mavashal a chatos in a kli cheres, you got to destroy the kli. Why? because that kli has within it a blia of chatas. We can call it a special kli. You know, in other words, the kli, the utensil, takes on its own identity. And we identify it as a kli chatas. And the Torah says about a kli chatas, you got to destroy it, in the case of a kli cheres. In Chavitz of Matzah, we're going to find a similar kind of structure where the kli takes on the identity of a kli chavitz. Just like in chatas, we have a kli that takes on the identity of a kli chatas, so too in kli chavitz, we're going to have an identity called a kli chavitz. Where do I see such a thing? I see such a thing with regard to something called shtifa. You remember we discussed in a kli that was used for kachim that you need not only marika but also shtifa. So forget about cheres for a moment. Let's talk about a kli mateches, right? So it's made of metal, a classic, you know, pottery. A classic pot that was made of stainless steel, whatever it's made of. And the halacha is that after you cook whatever you cook it in, chata, shlomim, it doesn't matter. It's not enough to subject the kli, which you want to use now for chulin, to marika, but you also need something called shtifa. You have to cool it off in, you know, hose it down with cold water. The Rambam, Pilei Plaim, the Rambam has this halacha of shtifa, we'll call it marika and shtifa, in Hilchas Chametz Matzah. And the Rambam says that when you do Hagala on a Kli Chametz, it's not enough just to put it inside, you know, a big pot of, you know, with a fire going on it, in boiling water, but you also have to do Shtifa Mitzonet. Hell! You won't find anywhere in the Rambam in Macholos Asuros with regard to, let's say, a Kli that was used for milchiks and now you want to use it for fleishiks, a kli that was used for treif and now you want to use it for kosher meat. The Rambam never adds this condition of shtifa. Marika, yes, which is hagolah, but not shtifa. Where did the Rambam come up with shtifa in the case of kli chametz to rinse off the kli following dipping it into the boiling water with a hose of cold water? And Agos Maimonides says that the Rambam derived this from Mariku Shtifa Bekachim. But wait a second. Mariku Shtifa Bekachim is integrated into the nature of the mitzvah of Kachim. And there the Mariku Shtifa is in order to remove the shame Kodesh from the Kli, in order to use it for Chulim. In Macholos Asuras, where the point to Marika and its purpose is to remove the blia of a Tam Iser, the Rambam drops the requirement of Shtifa. Why then does the Rambam resurrect from the dead the requirement of Shtifa Mitzoneh in the case of a Kli Chametz? And here in the paragraph in Nira Loma, which I think where we got to last week, the Rambam, yeah, the Rambam wants to drop a bomb here, and he wants to say that when the Chachamim envisioned Hechsher Kelim for Pesach, they formulated it, they structured it in a framework that's absolutely reflective, or almost a mirror image, of Kli Kachim. That just like in Kli Kachim, the Torah has a whole ritual that goes beyond just removing the Tam HaBalua, and therefore in addition to Shtifa, they required Marika, in addition to Marika, they required Shtifa Mitzonin. So too, Mirabbanon, in Kli Chametz, what they did is they said, if you use this keli for Chametz, then not only are you going to have to, if you want to use it for Pesach, not only are you going to be required to get rid of the blia of Tam Chametz, which means Hagolah, but on top to boot, you're going to have to remove the shame Kli Chametz. You're going to have to do some sort of a mikvah act, you know, a purification, a transformation of the personality of the kli. And that requires what, Rabosai? Shtifa Mitzonei. Just like in the case of a kli of kachim, it's not enough to remove the tam of kachim that's balua in the kli. You also have to subject the kli to what? To some sort of, I call it a ritual process of shtifa that's going to remove and undermine, neutralize the shame, kodesh, and the kli. So too in a kli chavis, the rabbanon that required shtifa to remove the shame, kodesh, and the kli. And therefore, the din of Hechsher with regard to Klei Chametz is a twofold halacha. It rides on two different tracks. Number one, of course, primarily, fundamentally, to get rid of the Tam, Bolu, and the Kli, so you won't get Chametz eaten, you know, into your matzah. And number two, you need Siluk Shem Chametz from the Kli. You need this, I call it, pardon the expression, a purification process to remove and you know, to have the Kli undergo a transformation of personality, of identity. And how do you change this identity? We saw this in the paradigm of Kli Kodshim. And just like in Kli Kodshim, you need Shtifa Beitzone on top of Marika, Mechamin, in order to give a new Chal Hashem to the Kli. It's no longer Kli Kodshim, it's now Kli Chulim. So too, in the case of Pesach, the Ravonan organized it and enacted a requirement to get rid of the, you know, to transform the personality of the Kli Chometz and make it a Kli that's right to sit on your table, on the Leil HaSeder, so to speak, and completely be Mafkia, the Chal Hashem, Chometz Dika Kli, and therefore they require not only to get rid of the Bilua, but even a Shtifa to get rid of, so to speak, to undermine and neutralize the shame Chometz in the Kli. And the Rav has a very fascinating sugya in Zvachim on Daf Tzadi Hei on the base, which is the end of this paragraph, V'nira Lomar. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth about a case called Bishul below Bilua, and the question is whether you require Mariku Shtifa. So there was no Bliya. Imagine, there was no Bliya. So the Tam Kodshim was not Nivla in the walls of the Kli. And yet the Gemara says you require Mariku Shtifa. And the answer is because he used the Kli for Kodshim. And once he used the Kli for Kodshim, he has attached to the Kli a new shame, a new identity of the Kli. It is now a Kli Kodshim, and you need to be mafkia, to be Masalik, the shame Kli Kodshim.
But there's no way you can have a Shtifa without Mariku.
As long as the Tam is still there.
You said there was no Bliya, though. In the case where there's no Bliya, he's trying to do the
Correct. You're right. But, you see, Marika, insofar as in general, 99 out of 100 cases, is necessary as the first stage that's going to culminate with Shtifa. What do I mean? If you don't do the Marika, I'll give you an example. You remember Chazal speak about Tovel v'sheretz biyado? So just using that as a mashal, I don't mean to make an analogy here, but to jump into a mikvah and you're holding on to the sheretz, which is the source of tumah, is absolutely antithetical. So too, Mariku Shtifa integrate to form one entity or one process which is indivisible. In order to change the nature and the status of the Kli, we need a transformation. If you don't do the Marika first, in 99% of the cases, Letty, you're talking about that last case, but if you, without the Marika, then it's total Masheretz Biyada, the Shtifa is meaningless, because the shame Kli will linger on, so to speak, to the Kli, because of the Bliya of the Kodshim that's in the Kli. The Tzad in the Gemara to say that even without Bliya you still need Mariku Shtifa means that Mariku Shtifa becomes an indivisible process, and that's the way the Torah projected it, so that even though, you know, you might wonder why do I need the Mariku, let's just do the Shtifa without the Mariku, as you asked very well. But it's a package. It's a package deal. That's the process by which we need to do it. Okay. Now, if this be the case, let's see if we can swing back to Kederos b'Pesach Yishavu. What was our kasha? If the Kli Cheres was Bolea at the time of Chometz the whole year round, which is called Hetera Bola, why not take the Kli Cheres, subject it to Mariku Shtifa? And all you have to do in such a case is lower or diminish the tam from a tam gomur to a tam kolish, and a tam kolish doesn't generate any isurim. Ah, the answer is that even if a tam kolish cannot generate an isurim, what does it generate?
Shem.
Exactly. A shem chametz. The shem chametz is going to be chal in the kli. And here's where you can never ever get rid of the shem chametz in the case of a kli cheres that was used for chametz the whole year round. Because again, as we said before, it's tovil v'sheretz b'yada. If you want to apply a principle of mariku shtifa to change the nature of the kli and convert it into a kli pesach, if you will, how can you do that when this tam chametz in the kli cheres case that is balua the kli? So you'll tell me, okay, there's a tam that's balua, but after mariku shtifa, I reduce that tam to a tam kolosh. Then, even if it's a tam kolosh, it still is a tam chametz. So you're eating from a kli that has a tam chametz in it, because no matter what you do, you can't remove that tam chametz. It's got to be there even after mariku shtifa, albeit in a state of kolosh, but there's still a tam of chametz there.
Is that because chametz is also b'mashu and
no,
not subject?
No, I don't know, Yosef. You're going to confuse my mind. Sorry. No, I know the tam of chametz is also b'mashu, but I don't think we need that. All we need to say is that there is a tam here. Right? The din of tam kolosh means that tam kolosh could not generate isurim. But we're not generating isurim now. We're just generating a shame kli. Do you follow? So in order to achieve that goal, which again you and I are not happy with in the case of a kli cheres, because it means we're going to have to destroy the kli cheres, in order to achieve that goal of maintaining a shame chavitz on the kli, all we need is that there is b'metzius, a tam chavitz that's volua the kli. So take a look at these two paragraphs. The Nira, and then Ubeata, at the bottom of Reish Chav Vav, going on to the top of Reish Chav Zion, and he says the following, that when the Rabbanim made this takana of quote-unquote Hechsher Kelim LePesach, it's a separate entity, what they did was, they followed the paradigmic case of Kachin. And what they said was, and again, in the first stage, they said that you need shtifa. It's not enough to do marika, which again, as we said before, in other isurim, like the velus and treifas, there is no requirement of shtifa mitzoneh. The Rambam doesn't mention a word about that. But in klei chametz, because we have a parallel, and we're taking the framework of klei chametz and we're sort of superimposing it on the framework of kachim, of klei kachim, it's not going to be enough to be maflit the tam chametz if the shame chametz still exists. And just like we saw in kachim, even after the marika, the shame kachim still continues and persists, and we can only remove that later on with shtifa. The same requirement of shtifa is not going to apply to hechsher kelim v'pesach. For what purposes? To be misalik the shame chametz. So again, we have a twofold, we're riding on two different horses here. On the one hand, marika, in order to remove the tam of chametz from the kli, and on the we're not up to a kli cheres yet, right? And number two, we're going to need shtifa in order to remove the shame chametz from the kli. And what we're doing is we're applying a principle called kol d'tikun rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikun. And the Ke'en Doraisa here is like the Hechsher Kelim LeKachin. So if you remember, we saw that the Hagos Maimonides says, where did the Rambam get this din of Shtifa, which he formulates in Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah, in Machalos Asuras, he never mentions a word about Shtifa. So the answer to the Magen Mishnah was, the Makar of the Rambam was Mariku Shtifa LeKachin. Yeah, but Iker Chasim and Asefer, we still don't understand.
Would he be trying to say that the Kalim from Pesach is got more of a Kodesh shem to it than...
Sort of. Again, that's the philosophy of it. Yeah, you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, there are always two questions you can ask, especially when it comes to a Derabbanan. The first question is what, and the second question is why. The first question is, let's define the mechanics. How did the Rabbanim institute this? What are the rules and regulations? I'm saying they pattern themselves after kosher. and they required in Kli Chametz not only Silukatam through removing the Bliya in Hagola, but they also required Silukashem, but that's through Shtifa. Now you have to ask the question, why? So I think Lenny is saying something well. I don't know, Lenny, were you ever interested in going into Rabbonis? Because this would prove that you could be a darshan. This would be a great drasha, you know, for Shabbos HaGadol. Then why are we requiring shtifa on that kelim? You know, Berzot is up there, you know, up in the north there whatever number it was. I don't remember anymore. Where I used to do Hesh and Kalim Erev Pesach, and he's walking around with a hose of cold water. Well, what's this all about? The answer is Rabosai. We want to use this kelim, the Halig and Kalim for the Seder of Pesach, and we have to uplift them to a high level. We're going to treat them like kachim, and we're going to really require some sort of an unbelievable process that cuts this keli off, completely cuts its umbilical cord and its connection to chametz. No connection to chametz. We got the blia out through Angola. We almost died because the hot water was coming in all directions. I can't begin to tell you how I benched Gomel every year when I came back from the army. It's so dangerous what goes on that you can't imagine. They take a large pot and they put a brenner underneath it, and the hot fire is shooting out. Then how do they clean the tables? How do they machshir the tables? They don't buy new tables for Pesach. What they do is called Evet Melubenis. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a Siman in Shulchan Aruch. So we take a hot, long piece of metal that has like a rectangular end to it, and we put it in the fire, and we wait until it is red hot, white hot. And then one guy holds on to this piece of metal while the other guy's pouring boiling hot water on the metal. I'm telling you, you have to bench Gomel. It's the brenner and the fire, everything. And by the way,
and that water is what goes on the table.
right. And then they clean off the table. But the coolest thing is, I don't know if you ever saw this, it's an amazing thing. When the first time I saw it, I thought it was a miracle from Shemayim. I'm telling you, I never knew about this. No one tipped me off. They have these gigantic kederos, you know, yoros, that have been used for the last 11 and a half months, right? For meat and for, you name it, gigantic, because they're feeding masses amounts of people in the army. You stand there with a brenner. Why? Because it's not enough to do Hagolah in this kli. It's almost impossible. First, it's the size, it's so humongous. How do you do Hagolah? But secondly, there is shamnudis of basar that's inside the lip of the kli that goes around. And you can't remove it through Hagolah. So watch what happens. You're standing there with the brenner, and the fire is shooting towards the lip of this gigantic kli. It's literally this size. And I'm telling you, miracle of miracles. All of a sudden, maybe it takes 20 minutes, I don't know how long it took. All of a sudden, the whole top of the thing goes up in fire, and it burns out all the shemek. It's like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu at the snap. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, the esh goes up to Shemayim. I don't know the physics of it, but I saw it with my eyes every single year when we did Heksham Kalim. But let's get back to this. So we need not only Marika, but we also need what? Shtifa B'Tzoker. Oh, now let's go on to the next page. Kderos B'Pesach Yishavru. Even though the Hagol of Aklicheres will remove what? The Tam Bolua. And it will reduce it to a Tam Kolush. And then you'll say to me, well, a Tam Kolish, if it's a Teirah Bola, could never generate an Isur. The Rabbanan say you're not allowed to use the Kli. Why? In Ilchas Heksher Kalim, if you had a Kli that was a Teirah Bola. I'll give you an example. Let's say you use the Kli for Truma. You cook Truma in a Kli. That's a classic case of a Teirah Bola. Even if it was a Kli Cheres, the Rabbanan would say, take that Kli Cheres, subject it to Hagolah, reduce it to a Tam Kolush, and then use it for Chulin, for a Zar, for a non-Kohen. Everything would be wonderful. And then there's no Shirayim of Isur here. What happened in the exact same case with the Klicheres of Chometz? And the answer is, even though the Hagolah is very meaningful to reduce the tam to a terabola, nevertheless, it still has a blia of what? Of a tam kolush. And since it has a blia of a tam kolush, you're not allowed to use this kli on Pesach. Why? Because it has a shame. It has a shame kli chametz. Now, what's amazing here, the next two paragraphs, is that the Rav builds a shiur on Yotzos. I don't know if any of you recite Yotzos. I mean, it's like totally out of style today. You know, unless you go to the real Yekis, you know. Some of the old-time Dutch and then German Jews and some of the real Ashkenazim, you know, they still recite Yotzos. But the Yotzos were written by mostly by Rav Elazar Kalir. And my Rebbe thought Rav Elazar Kalir was a Tana. I mean, he took him very seriously. All of Tisha B'Av, he used to go through the kinnis of Kalir, and he would analyze them like he was analyzing a Mishnah. So Kalir writes the following. Now, this is in heavy Aramaic, so some of it I can help you with, some of it I can't. He says, Indu Angni Vehatsi Dekuna Upachra. Now, what we know is that Kuna Upachra are different types of kli cheres. And he says the following. This is all in the Yotzos. He says, Apagav de maflit luhu shapir, even though you can get rid of the tam that's bolua, the tam of chametz that's bolua, but lishtavushi be asira, but we still don't allow you to use it. Now what's going on over here? You just finished telling me that Apagav de maflit le shapir, that you were able to be maflit the tam of chametz from these kelim, from the kunya and the pachra, which are kli cheres. So what does it mean? He says, l'shtamushi ba asira. V'nira, this is Rav Salvation's twist, his take on this python, is that he's talking about the Rambam Shita. That even though Hagola is meaningful in a kli cheres in the case of Hagola, of a teir bol, nevertheless the Chachamim told us we're not allowed to use the kli. And why is it? Because the tam kolush continues and the shame chometz persists, and therefore it's a yotzin de dach yoliola. In other words, you never get rid of the tam chometz. You can only reduce it to a level of tam kolush, and therefore you can't use it on Pesach. And this is all based on the Gemara of Kederos ben Pesach Yishon. Now he has another diuk in the Yotzos for Shabbos HaGadol. It says Sakini. So now we're talking about knives.
Yeah.
And he says, Lishtamushi ba chamira le'aruchim. He says that he wants to be very machmir to use. Now, sakinim here means is just representative of silverware and other kelim. In Efshar Lasosel Chadashim, I'm going to give my journalistic interpretation that if you're a rich guy and you can replace them with special kelim, you know, today nobody even blinks about having special kelim for Pesach.
Yeah.
I remember my mother, you know, 50 years ago, more than that, it's probably more like 60 years ago, that we had hechsher kelim for Pesach. It's unheard of today. Unheard of. I mean, again, if you have a very expensive kli or whatever, but other than that, you have a new set of dishes for Pesach. So back in the day, and the Python is addressing that period of time, he says, in Efshal Asosim Chadashim, if you can only afford it, buy yourself a new set of dishes for Pesach. V'im lo, but if you can't afford it, Magi'ilon Beroschim, you should put them into hot boiling water. Ubekli Rishon, make sure there's a fire going on underneath the age. Vehem Mitzuk Sachim, make sure they're absolutely clean before you put it in. So here's the Rav's take on it. L'chadchila, the best thing in, under all circumstances would be to buy new kelim that have never been used. But he can't do that. Then he's magil hayishenim. He does hagol to the old ones. And he says that in such a case, harei nechshavim kechadashim. Please underline those words, because he's going to build a lot. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Chametz Umatzah and in Siman Tafnun Aleph, that in the Gemara of Pesachim it seems that afilu l'man di efshal lichnos chadashim, even if he has the financial wherewithal to replace his entire repertoire of kelim for Pesach, mutar lo lahagil yishanim. We have no hesitation or inhibition about hagola. And now we turn to page Reish Chof Ches. Avol ha-paiton, what are we going to do with the paiton? He's not aware of this smugnat pro. He says that if you can only buy new kelim, then mishubach, and that's what you should do. Why? Because he holds the following. Anok ke'en chadeta avinon. Even after hagola, it's like it's a new kelim. Right? So that we're going to... Well, we're going to say that on behalf of someone who can't afford to buy new kelim. But if somebody has the possibility of buying new kelim for Pesach, he should do so. Now, Rav Soloveitchik is perturbed by this. He's upset. Let's say I have a treif knife. It became treif. So you're going to tell me, well, no. Don't do hechsher kelim. Buy yourself a new knife. We never found that in halacha. All of a sudden, everybody's got to be wealthy. We never found that. Hidei lo matzanu din kaseh b'shari yisurim d'lechatchila ein lahagilon lahagilon lahashirun v'nireh. But rather chumr zu shaycha dafka l'gabi Pesach. Why? Because since the Rabbanon, they instituted a whole new category of Pesach. In which what? In which you're not allowed to use the kelim for the clay chametz for Pesach. So they told you, look, l'chatchila, you have this whole set of dishes that you use the whole year long. Replace them. You don't want to use clay chametz for Pesach. But in the end, okay, if you don't have that option, you don't have the wherewithal to do so, so you can rely on hagolah, because then it's kelim chadashim, it's like new kelim. Again, this all makes sense in clay chametz. Why? Because the purpose of clay chametz is not just to get the tam of the chametz out, but it's also to be misalik the shem chametz. So the best way of being misalik the shem chametz is by buying brand new kelim. The fallback position, if you can't afford to buy new kelim, you're not such a rich person, is take it to the base hechsher, to hagola, and do hagola. Now let's see if we have 2 minutes to fit in one more paragraph. The Rambam, in the same chapter of Hilchos Chametz Matzah that we've been studying, which is Perikei, he writes that a keli that's made of any other substance other than cheres, for example, matechos or avonim, so you have stoneware, or you have silverware, or you have even wood kelim, made from wood kelim, and you used it for chametz. Now watch this, please underline, b'kli sheni. Now we have a principle called kli sheni eino mevash. So for example, you have dishes that you would never use over the fire, it's not a pot. Or for example, you have glasses or cups, you never put it over the fire. And the Rambam nevertheless says you should be magil them. You should put them into a kli gadol and pour. Well, this is not exactly our goal. This is what we call, this is called iri kli rishon. Again, we don't have to go through it, but that's what he has. Yeah. Now, if you take a look at a parallel Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, where the Rambam talks about a kli that was used for kli sheni, he doesn't mention a word about any sort of hagolo or heksha whatsoever. And the Magen Avraham explains why, because a klisheni is not mavashel. Oh, so what's going on? So the question is, how can the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah speak about a keli that was used for chametz for klisheni, and yet he requires a process of hagolo, of heksha?
I thought Hebrew kli rishon is like a kli rishon, not like a klisheni.
So Adarabba, that makes the cash even more severe. Why would the Rambam require a hechsher of iri kli rishon on kli chametz that were only used for kli sheni? Is Haven Shammai Rambam kli rishon? So the Magen Avraham understands name. The Rambam, don't take the Rambam seriously when he says kli sheni. He means iri kli rishon. According to us, he says it makes sense. Because even though kli sheni is not mevashel, and in other isur we would not require any sort of heksher, but in chametz it's enough to create a shame Kli Chametz. And how do we get to be Masha Kli Chametz? We need at least some sort of minimum requirement of hedge. So we have two more paragraphs to finish up, but we got them. I think we got the gist of it. All right, go. What? Yeah, the last year in the morning is the toughest for me because this is my fifth.